So do we have any Wonder Women sitting out there? It's not about who you are, it's about the Jesus that you serve, isn't it? We honor every woman in this place. I know some of you are not mamas yet, but you're women of God, you're a daughter of God, and we honor each and every one of you, especially the mamas. You know, it's kind of funny, when I come from the church a long time ago, you didn't have to be introduced. And I thought, well, you know, everybody knows who I am. Until the month of March, I taught downstairs in the 3 to 5 year olds. And they were coming in, I'm going, who are you and who brought you? Two of the kids there in the 3 to 5 year olds I knew. And so it was very evident. We are a growing church, and God is bringing in new people. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? So, and it's not over. The best is still yet to come, but we need to embrace that. So when I was teaching the 3 to 5 year olds, I love teaching, and kids are just amazing. So I was teaching them on love, and I do a lot of puppets. They love puppets. You know, they just... So for 2 weeks, I'd been doing the puppets, and they're on the edge of their seat. I mean, I could teach them, tell them what God says, but when that puppet says it, it's real, man. That, if Ricky said it, it's real. So they're on the edge of the seat. So the third week, in comes this child, and and she says, she's watching, and she hasn't gotten in for 2 weeks. So she's sitting there, and she goes, Miss Kay, you do know that you are doing the talking there. You do know that puppet's not real. And the two girls on each side of her looked at her and went, you know, they were just upset. And the little, a bigger, older boy in the back says, who cares? It's fun. You know, so I was redeemed. There's always one. So then after that, she was all in. I mean, she figured if I can't beat him, I better join him. So I was teaching on love. This is, they just amaze me. So I was teaching on love down there, and I brought out a puppet. He was going to teach us on love, but he was doing the wrong kind of love. He was looking at the girls and saying, ooh, I love her, I love her. And, you know, so I was saying, Ricky, no, that's not the kind of love. These are only kindergartners. We don't do that. You know, they have to be like 30 or 40 years old at least. So parents, you owe me if you have a girl, you know. And so I hope it's okay to say, so Lindley Joe, the pastor's daughter, I'm going to have to tell Pastor Harris about this. She stands up, she goes, I know Pastor Harris, and I am going to tell him about this. She never called him daddy or never took, and so Ariana comes to pick him up, the children's director. She's going down the hall, and you could, Lindley's like walking down. She's her arms, and she goes, I'm talking to Pastor Harris about this. That's got us. I mean, her. And then she goes, but I do know he liked me. You know, so it's like, so I thought, oh, I wonder if I could warn him, but I couldn't come up to all the kids, where I figured she'd probably be out there in the parking lot. So one little girl, another little girl says, I know Pastor Harris too. It didn't matter that Lindley was the daughter. It was like, I know him too. And so when I came up the stairs, there she was. Pastor Harris had picked her up, and she's like, so I'm thinking, okay, word's out. I'm either going to be fired or they're going to say, good job. But, you know, you have to enjoy it. So when I was teaching school, I would every week, I would send home a newsletter to the parents every Friday. And of course, it had the homework for the next week, but I would always have first grade funnies on it. And I would always tell them, I wouldn't tell who the guilty was, but I'd tell funny things that kids had said during the class. And there was always some. I was looking through some of those this week and finding great joy in reading them. But the parents would say, so they'd get in the car, they'd say, Mrs. Freeze, soon as Friday comes and they get in the car, I say, give me your letter. They'd say, we read that, the funnies. We skip the homework, but we get to those funnies. And they said, and our supper table, we can't wait every night to hear what Pete the Parrot's been doing. It's what our supper's about. And so the older kid would go, my school, I did. And they go, shh, what did Pete the Parrot? I mean, it didn't matter, the older kids, but let's hear about Pete the Parrot. So I love teaching. I love teaching. And Pastor and Sarah, I am so blessed to have you as my pastors. I think we're in for a ride. We're in the end times, and they are called, are they not? And I'm with you on it. I may be aging, but I can still walk, and I can still run, and I will probably still always be yelling, so that's okay. So I was already given my Mother's Day gift. I picked up my granddaughter. I took my grandkids home with me. I picked them up after prayer on Thursday and brought them home with me. And Kate, she's the feisty one. If you have a feisty one, you know, you're like, oh, but hold on, they're going to do stuff for God. So she heard, I was talking to my daughter Tiffany, and I says, hey, the lady next door is moving. I know they had kids, you loved them, and it was great. She goes, yeah, her mom was going to be sent to a assisted living place, so they're buying a bigger house so that she can take care of her mom. So Katie's listening to all this. I didn't know that. So I'm going, oh, that's really nice, and they didn't have room. So we get in the car. Katie leans over. She pats my hand. She goes, Grammy, don't you worry. I'm going to get a house big enough for you to live with me. She said, when you get old, I said, Katie, I already am old. She goes, no, you're not. No, you're still young. So I thought, okay, as long as I live to be 100, I guess she'll take me in. And then, so that night, the kids, I always blow up an air mattress, and we sleep in the downstairs bedroom together. So, and Katie will always come in. She goes, can I sleep next to you? And then Luke will move his bed over. Katie, the older one, has a room of her own now. She's a teenager almost, and so she's like, but Katie, so we talk and we laugh, and then I'll say, okay, Grammy's tired, gotta go to bed. So I roll over and I go to sleep. But 5 minutes later, I could feel Katie crawling out of bed, and I thought, oh, she's gonna go use the restroom. But the door didn't open. We had the bedroom door closed. So I thought, where is she? Is she playing with something? Does she have a game? So I carefully crawled to the bottom of the bed, and there on the floor, at the bottom of my bed, there was my little granddaughter. And she was on her face with her little hands folded. She wears these gloves so she doesn't suck her thumb at night. She was on her face, and she was praying. And I said, and God said, Happy Mother's Day. It's not my mother, but Happy Mother's Day. You know, that is the greatest gift that you can have, is to know your children love the Lord. And she didn't even want me to know. She waited till I thought I was asleep. So I said, oh, I'm sorry, Katie. I was just checking. She goes, well, Grammy, we pray for you and Papa every night, and you didn't even pray tonight. So she was down there, and I thought, oh, God, thank you, thank you. I don't need any more gifts. That's it. I've been given my gifts. So anyway, I wanted to share with you, laughter's good medicine. And so I wanted to share with you, I would always, it's fun to ask kids questions and let them answer, because in their little minds they're saying something intelligent, but they are so funny. So the second grade teacher, she was preparing for Mother's Day, and she was going to do a survey for her class. And so she picked out some Mother's Day questions so she could send them home. And here are some of the questions and the funny responses. I used to do this. I have papers of stuff that I sent home to my parents every week as funnies, and I look at those and I still laugh. So the question the teacher asked is, why did God make mothers? And the little boy answered, well, probably to help us get out of there, because we were getting born. So I'm like, well, that works. We do need moms for that. And then, how did God make mothers? Well, with some magic plus some superpowers, and then a lot of stirring. So good to know we were made out of stirring. What ingredients do you think mothers are made of? Well, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world, but with a little bit of mean. I thought that was funny. A little bit of mean. Why did God give you to your mother and not another mom? Well, because he knew that my mom would like me a lot more than other people's moms would like me. Probably true. What kind of little girl do you think your mother was? Well, I don't really know, because I wasn't really there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy. Even if they did say she used to be nice. Oh, my goodness. Why did your mom marry your dad? Well, I think just she got too old to do anything else with him. That's how true. So who's the boss of your home? Mom is. She doesn't want to be, but she has to be, because my dad is such a goofball. my goodness. I could just hear my first graders saying this. What is the difference between moms and dads? Well, moms work hard at work, and then they come and work hard at home. And dads just work at work. What does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't have spare time. Moms don't do spare time is how they answered. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Well, on the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, maybe some plastic surgery. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that cracks me. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? I would like her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. Out of the mouths of babes. And my parents loved it when I would send the first grade news home. They would just laugh. And I wouldn't tell them. If it was their child, I'd secretly say, yeah, that's your child. So I want to take a moment before I get, laughter's good medicine, so we've had our medicine. And I just want to pray. I'm going to get into the Word of God. And it's really, I love how God works, because Pastor Harris and Pastor John, they have no idea what I'm speaking on. They know it's Mother's Day, but I'm speaking on warrior moms. That's the Wonder Woman. And I thought, well, how about that? I know God's in it. And I was sitting over there, and I was worshiping, and I said, and whenever you get in the presence of the Lord, sometimes you just get so dizzy. I hope it's not old age, but I think it's a presence. I'll take the presence of the Lord. So I'm just over there worshiping. I started getting dizzy, and I got down on the floor, and I said, God, I really love your presence, but I got to get up in a minute. I can't be dizzy when I get up there. So, you know, please release this and let me get up. So I'm up, and the dizziness left. But so I'm going to open in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have put what you've asked me to put in words in this book. And Father, they're just words on paper right now. But I am asking you, by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to go over in this audience, open up the hearts and the ears of people, and mothers especially, that can receive the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that they will be encouraged, and they will know that this is their finest hour. And Lord, I just ask by the power of your Spirit that when they leave here, they will not just be words they've heard. They will be life-changing for them. Encourage our mothers, Lord. If ever we need godly mothers, it's today, and we lay it before you. Amen. 60 million. That's how many babies have been aborted since 1973. And this is my theory, okay? If they give out free college, I believe this is a trick of the enemy. If secular colleges will be free, our children, many are indoctrinated in college. The professors there they're ungodly, and they're there to indoctrinate our kids. So we lose a lot of them in college. And so not only are we losing them in abortion, we're going to lose them in college. The enemy is after our kids. And thank you, Pastor, for having them come up. Truth, what he said, truth. And so our mothers, in the meantime, are at home, and they're feeling discouraged. If ever there's a time, here's what I want to tell you. We put labels on our kids. We call them ADHD. We call them oppositional defiance disorder. We do all these things, but those kids usually are going to be the ones that are going to go out and take the world by storm. Yep. If the world doesn't get to them and tell them it's a bad thing, because they have to go to the office at noontime and get the Ritalin, and everybody's going, yeah, he needs his Ritalin. I always hated that, and I would always go to them, and I would say, you know, you are just a powerhouse, and you're going to do. I mean, I wanted to take the words. So we mothers, we have our job set out for us, and today you say, I'm just a housewife. Let me tell you, you are what the world needs right now. And if ever you get this in your head, I'm going to read it. As I was getting ready for this, we started with the Wonder Woman theme. You all are Wonder Woman in the kingdom of God. You have what it takes. And if you don't use it, I've never seen depression and anxiety coming in the rates of heaven. What does that do? It makes us so we can't be keen and alert and watch our kids. We want to lay around. We don't want to do it. And if you have teenage kids that are out there, it's not too late. I spoke the last Wednesday. I loved it because it talks about prophesying. I think Pastor spoke on that today. You can't just pray. You have to take the word of God and prophesy to that situation. Ezekiel had to prophesy to the situation, and that's when the bones came back together. There is nothing that God can't do if you prophesy. Prophesy to it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My children are my inheritance, and they're God-given, and they are going to be world changers, history makers, and I'm going to see them come to the altar. It's never too late. So as I was getting ready to do this, I knew I wanted to do Wonder Women, and there's so many good women in the Bible. I'm like, okay, there's Esther, and then I thought about the women God used that were, you know, they were prostitutes and things like that, and I thought, that's cool too, that, you know, you redeem. But so one day I was praying. I said, God, I like to be prepared. I don't like jumping on things right away. I like to be overly prepared. So I'm going, God, I'm getting worried. I have 2 months left, and I really have to have a word from you. And so that afternoon, God said to me that morning, he says, I'll confirm what you're to do this afternoon. So I thought, okay, so went on. So then, where's Denise, my friend? She texts me something on Deborah. And I thought, wow, that's really good. So then I'm part of an intercession group, and the lady texts, she goes, hey, you guys, I think we're onto something here. Deborah is, and she shared some things. Then a friend that I have at First Assembly, she said, man, she sent me something on Deborah. So I went, that's it, isn't it, God? Yep. So I started researching. Once I get the confirmation, I get the word, I started researching. And I'm going to tell you, Deborah has a word right now for this season where we are. And mamas, if we don't step up to the plate, the church of God is going to suffer. So I'm not scaring you. I'm encouraging you. God is already put everything in place. He wasn't caught off guard by anything that's happened. But our nation, the world, is in trouble. We have a media, we have, now we have government, it's always been government, that is not godly. They're not for the best interest of the church. And the church, in a large form, has been very silent. We've just been a social club, and we've just been, but we're not anymore. We're going to get out. We're going to have to get out. And God will do what he can to get it out, either comfortably or uncomfortably. We will get out. So God, I feel like God is speaking with urgency because, folks, it's not going to get any easier, but it's going to get more glorious. I will tell you that. But for Americans, we have never been persecuted. We think it's hard when we can't go get our Starbucks coffee in the morning. Pastor Mark, I know it's hard on Fridays not getting it, but yeah. But that's not the kind of persecution that's coming. You're going to have to know who you are in Christ and love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I'm going to tell you there'll be a supernatural protection, and there'll be supernatural things going on when you step up to the plate. So as I begin to read about Deborah, there's a verse where he cries out, and it's found in Judges chapter 4, and 4 and 5. He says in chapter 5, it's kind of like the dance of Deborah in chapter 5. He's saying, Deborah's, arise. Come on, Deborah's, arise. Their country was in trouble. They had once again, the Israelite children, they had turned their back against God, and they had been already 20 years in captivity. And the king that was there was Sisera, and he had over them a man named, Sisera was the commander of the army, Jabin was the man over them. And it was getting bad. They were being treated badly. And that's when Deborah steps up to the plate. Now, I'm going to tell you some things here. Mothers, if you think, well, I'm not educated, I'll encourage you in a minute. Deborah's day, it says, it was like there was a blanket of darkness currently spreading across her land. And that, does that not sound like our land right now? A blanket of darkness spreading across the land. And Deborah got up, and she began to take authority over it. So here's what a verse says in Isaiah 61 and 2. I believe this verse puts into perspective where we are today. He's saying to our daughters of God, rise up in splendor and be radiant. Don't be downcast, be radiant. For your light is dawned, and Yahweh's glory now streams from you. Darkness blankets the earth, and thick gloom covers the nations. But Yahweh arises on you. He doesn't say he rises on the nations. He doesn't rise on the church. He rises on each individual. He works in individuals. And when we get together in church, that's powerful. Rises up on you, and the brightness of his glory appears over you. My friends, in the days that lie ahead, I believe as it gets darker, the glory of Jesus is only going to get brighter in us. And they will not be able to say, well, they're just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. His glory is going to shine through you. So Deborah, as I studied on her, she was one at that time of the most influential ladies in the Old Testament. It begins in 4 and 5. If you want to turn there, I'll be showing some on the screen, but I'm going to kind of tell the story in interest of time. Chapter 4 begins with them being under oppression, and Deborah sits under a palm tree, and she's giving direction to when there's troubles, they come to her and get their disputes settled and things. But the people of Israel were crying out for deliverance. Deliver us, Lord. We read that Israel was in bondage. They were being oppressed because they'd walked away from God again. And as a consequence, the Canaanite king named Jabin had put this Sisera in charge of them, and he was torturing them. He was doing terrible things to them. King Jabin wasn't helping, but so Deborah was a judge. But I want to tell you, in this day, there were no kings. Kings had not been appointed yet in Israel. There were God-appointed judges and prophets, and then he had leaders of the army. So in Judges 4, verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was leading Israel at this time. Now, isn't that interesting in that verse? I mean, what would she's mentioned as a prophetess, but they throw right in the middle of that, oh, and she was a wife and probably a mother, and she was leading Israel at that time. They threw right in there with them, but she was a wife and she was a mother. In God's eyes, women of God, being a mother and being a wife are right up there with being a preacher, being a prophet, being right up there. He put it right in there. And that there was nothing in there to say, well, this is more important than this. So mamas, you are, if you don't have a microphone, don't worry. You are right in there. By our standards, Deborah was an unlikely candidate. The Bible says that her credentials were probably that she was a wife and probably a mother, but none of them qualified her to run the country. Who qualified her? Jesus Christ, and in our case, the Holy Spirit. So you don't need a position to be used by the Lord. This verse tells us that she was three things: a prophetess, she was a wife, she was a judge of Israel. So as a prophetess, she gave the word of God, and she also held the name of judge. So let's read on. The best thing I could give this ministry was the palm tree ministry, because she sits under a palm tree. Here's what Deborah did, Judges 4 or 5. Deborah would sit under the palm tree between Ramah, or Ramah, and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. The scriptures tell us she sat under the palm tree between Ramah and Bethel, and I went back and began to study some things about that. Can you put up the this is what they all mean. It has insight into what this means. A palm tree in the Greek signifies providence, divine wisdom, and intelligence from the Lord. So she was sitting in a place of intimacy where she got intelligence from the Lord. That palm tree represents a whole bunch. Ramah, which is on one side, is high places. It means high places or heights. So if you want to take that prophetically, she was sitting in high places. Bethel means the house of God. Ephraim means fruitfulness. Where she was sitting was very, very conducive to what she was doing. Therefore, the location of the palm tree between Ramah, which means heights, and the house of God, which means Deborah sat in the heights of the house of God. What does that mean? She had a position of intimacy with the Lord. Deborah released God's insight to the earth, not with her own wisdom. She could sit under that palm tree because she had sat in the heights, in the house of God, in a place of intimacy where she knew and had the wisdom of the Lord. That's where true wisdom comes from. But what is the first thing to go when we get busy? Prayer and intimacy, worship. That's where we are going to have to find our place in the days that lay ahead, because we're going to need wisdom and insight. God is seeking out his daughters who will choose to come up higher into the heights of the house of God. That's where secrets are. And she did have secrets. Higher above the noise of the world, higher above ABC, NBC, higher than them, higher over the government, higher above all the confusion that's going on. When you get in the place of the Lord, in the place of intimacy, when you actually take time and you begin to just slow down, all of a sudden that still small voice, you can hear him, and you have reached. But it takes some time to get rid of what happened at work today, what my children did. But when you get there, you know you're there. And get the word of God out, because it comes to life then. God is, he's desiring for us to come up. In that place of intimacy, he's releasing divine solutions and strategies. He's taken away the counterfeit noise, because I'm telling you, the news is counterfeit. It is not. As I listen to it, my husband makes me turn, because I'm like, oh, that's fine. Turn off. You know, just. But we have to get our strategies from Jesus Christ in the place of intimacy. And social media is another place. You know, you look at it and you're going, man, their life is so wonderful. And, you know, man, if I had their life, I'd be. No, you know, you have the life God gave you, and you're a victorious, mighty army. How many of you would agree there's divine strategies that we need for the hour that we're living? How many of you agree that this church and the Church of God nationally, we have got a job to do? And we have got to have strategy from the Lord. Never before in church history has it been as confusing as it is right now. And if we don't step up to the plate, there is going to be great confusion. I pray, as confusing as it gets out there, that in our hearts and in God's people, there is clarity. And that means not staying in the church to be a social club. No, it means getting out there, because that's where the harvest is coming. When you get out there and you've been in the heights in the house of God, you carry with you the glory of God. And you get out there, and that's what changes things. And so I think a time's coming, and we're working on it. I know as a missions team member, we're trying to get out there, reach our neighbors, but that's not our final destiny. We want to get the city. God's going to get the attention of the world. Only for those that will come in and get in the heights of God. So Deborah, the Israelites are in trouble, and Deborah receives instruction for the Lord. She's been up in the high places in the house of God. And she says, well, it's time that my people, God says, time for my people to be set free. And so she calls Barak, who's the leader of the army. Barak reminds me of, like, the leader of our church. We have Pastor Harris. But can I tell you, as good of a man as he is, as anointed a man as he is, he cannot carry the harvest that's coming. That's right. He cannot. We all wear a mantle. Yes. And he's going to need all of us stepping up and working with him, not against him, with him. And when that happens, Barak, now he could have said, that's a woman. I'm a leader of an army. I am the general of the Israelite army. But he didn't. He recognized Deborah had been in the heights in the house of God. And he went with her. You know what? You do not, Pastor and John and some of the others, you get a microphone in your hand. That's not where, I mean, they've got their audience, but yours is going to come with being in the heights of God. You have a ministry. It may not be behind the pulpit, but you have a ministry. Well, Barak gets, and Deborah says to him, she's heard from the Lord. She said, Barak, first of all, the troops have to gather to a place, and you need to take them for purifying and cleansing into battle before they go to battle. You know, church, here's what I get out of that. There's a huge battle coming. Yes. We're going to take back territory that the enemy's had for years.
Right.
We are. God said he's going to give us ground.
Yes.
But what God told Barak, get the troops together, purify them, cleanse them. God, so some of you, I realize, it's been a tough year. Some of you can say 2020, it can just go away. Some of us have been through trials that we have no words to understand why. But can I tell you, trials are purification and they bring cleansing. That's how God does it. So if you've been through trials, pat yourself on the back. I'm in. I've had a lot of trials. I've had health issues. I'm in. I know I'm in. And if you haven't, good. I'm proud of you. But the divine, not. So Deborah instructs him. She goes, go deploy 10,000 troops. Take them to Mount Tabor. And I'm going to bring Caesarea up there. And you're going to fight him. Now, Caesarea is the guy that's been hurting them. But Tabor, let me tell you about Tabor, where they're taking him. It is actually called, get this, a place of cleansing. Isn't it amazing when you study the word and you start looking into insights? That's amazing to me. They're going into battle, but they didn't just say, yeah, we're going in. They humbled themselves and they cleansed. They allowed God to cleanse them. They allowed God to remove things. And then they went to battle. They didn't go without that. And that's what Tabor means. That's amazing to me. So Barak, he agreed and he said, okay, Deborah, I'm going to do that. I'll get the 10,000 groups, but I have one thing to ask you. Will you go into battle with me? Now, that's pretty amazing. She's not a warrior. She's not trained for battle, but he recognized, I need her with me. I need her insight. I'm taking her into battle with me. So ladies, let me tell you, you don't have to be a mighty woman of God. If you've been in the heights and you've been with God, you carry with you warrior material. So they went and the battle, he said, she said, the battle will be won. And I believe the battle that we're going to have is going to be won because we have united and we have cleansed and we have prepared. We've been in the heights with the Lord. So here's what he says in Judges 4:18. I will call out Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors, and they'll come to the Kishon River. God's going to call them. There I will give you victory over him. So Barak told her, all right, and this is where it says, I'll go if you go with me. So in the following verses after Judges 8, she tells Barak, here's the deal. You're going to win this war, but Sisera, it's going to be a lady that takes down. It's going to be a lady that finishes the work. So he's probably thinking, oh, it's going to be Deborah. She's going to kill him. We'll wait and see. So Deborah goes into the battlefield. Beginning at verse 14, we read, Deborah said to Barak, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into battle. They'd been cleansed. They were ready. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and all his warriors into a panic. But Sisera leaped down from his chariot and escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to Harosheth, killing all Sisera's warriors. Not a single one of them escaped, except Sisera. So Deborah's prophecy was fulfilled, and there came 40 years of peace out of that war. So, but wait, it's not over because remember, Caesarea is gone and he's evil. So there's another lady in this story. Very interesting. Hold on, ladies. So he's tired. He's been fighting. So Caesarea, he knows a friend of King Jabin, and his wife is named Jael, J-A-E-L. And here's what it says. And Judges 4:17. Meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with King Jabin. So he goes to where he thinks it's friendly. So Jael, she represents the housewife. That's what she would represent today. She's perfectly happy. She's in her home. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's raising the kids. She's not a warrior, nor does she claim to be. But Jael, when Sisera comes to her, hey, I need a place to sleep. I'm exhausted. She recognizes, because she's probably been in the high places with God too. And she allures Sisera into the tent, puts him to sleep, gives him milk, puts a blanket over him. And thinking he was safe, Sisera goes right to sleep. He's exhausted. And Sisera, while he was sleeping, she essentially just nails him. I'll just put it that way. She picks up a tent peg, puts it to his skull, and hammers it through. Finishes off the enemy of the nation. Yeah. A housewife did that. Is that amazing? She recognized, yeah, so husbands are not going to sleep tonight, are you? They'll be like, do you have any tent pegs or nails? Can you... Just saying. So Barak comes and he wants to make sure it's finished. So he comes to Jael's house and sure enough, he's sitting there with the tent peg. He's pretty well finished, unless there's a divine act there, but it's not going to happen. So here's what happens. Barak, the one that's in charge, the one that's leading, he had done his part. He couldn't have done that alone. God ordained for him, and he followed God's plan. He didn't say, I'm in charge here. I've got the microphone. I'm in charge. He listened, and he allowed there to be unity, and everybody worked together. So Barak did his part. Deborah had done her part. She'd heard from the Lord and said, here's what God says to do. And Jael, the housewife, did her part. Can you imagine that day? She'll be like, I was just fixing supper, and I just killed a guy. What if one of those people in our story had not done their part? What if Deborah had not given the word of God? Barak wouldn't have known to go because she'd been the one that received it. What if Barak had said, you're a woman, I'm not going to work with you, or a pastor, we have a wonderful pastor who wants us to be involved, or the pastor said, I'm in charge, you listen to me. What if he had just tried to take control when God said, no, you need to work with others. And then what if little Jael, the housewife, had not recognized, yeah, this guy needs to go and taken him down. Ladies, I just want to tell you, wherever you are, you're in the right place. It doesn't matter where you are in life. And can I just tell you that in your home, we are going to lose our... I just see children through abortion and through colleges. I see, and I love that these guys were up here. I mean, he didn't even know I was going to speak on this. But ladies, we think, and I know, there are some that are going to be used by the Lord and they make you want to tear your hair out. Ah! Because they're opinionated and they're going to ask you questions. Why do I have to do that? And I don't think this is right. But can I tell you that those are probably the ones that are going to lead an army? You have a responsibility as a mother to kind of train them and let them know, you know, I'm your mama. I'm glad that you are strong like that. And they probably are called by the Lord. They're going to have to hold their own. And they're going to, I said to Peter, my son-in-law, when he came to pick up Kate, so she's my spunky one. When I saw her at the foot of the bed praying, I thought, God, I will never complain about her spunkiness. I mean, as spunky as she is in life, she was down there before the Lord praying for them. That's our children. Mothers, your number one responsibility, here's what God says. There will always be a remnant. There will always be. But our remnant is shrinking. And what I see in the older generations, we're comfortable. We have our IRAs, we have our pensions, we have life is good, we just sit back, but God's not through. The best is yet to come. He needs a remnant. The remnant is going to have energy, the remnant's going to have power, and they're going to have tenacity that they will not bend or bow. That's those ADHD and the strong-willed ones. Don't break their spirit. They have to be trained. They cannot be But don't break them and say, why are you so, and because God's raising up a mighty warrior there. So, any mothers say amen, I have a warrior in my home, yeah? I hope you feel better about it now. So, so God is raising up, there's a remnant. But I want to tell you today, it's coming. We're right on the precipice of not only Jesus coming back, but of a mighty harvest. We're going to have to take some land that the enemy's held. We're going to have to take it back. And it will probably be the youth and the children. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that it says, he tells the people of Israel, just put it in their hearts when they walk in, when they come out, all day long. Talk to them about the Word of God. Use experiences, Mama, not so much to punish them. Yeah, they still have to be disciplined sometimes, but to say, you know, how could you have done that better? What would happen? One mama said, I was down there, and she always said, I use what would Jesus do? She said, it didn't work. So I said, what would Miss K do? Oh man, you put me in a bad spot there. and she said it worked, yeah. So here's what God is saying. We're coming to the end. There's a mighty battle. Our country's in captivity. Y'all agree? We are, the church are not in captivity, but we belong. Our country's in captivity. So what is God saying? I believe he's saying again. Wake up, Deborah. This is what it says in Judges 5:24. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up and sing your song. Arise, Barak. Arise, pastors. Arise, take your place. Lead the captives away. And here's what he says farther down, Judges 5:24, to all you mothers. Most blessed among women is Jael, the housewife. Had no calling. Well, she didn't think. The wife of Heber the Kenite. May she be blessed above all the women who live in tents. Their tents were their habitation. So, mothers, God is saying this to you. Rise up, but don't underestimate your ministry as a housewife, as what you're doing at home. If you do not step up, the world is going to step up, and they're going to take your children. And if you are not day in and day out using the Word of God and teaching them to pray and teaching them to be warriors and teaching them to go out and not be afraid of the enemy, to stand on their own, we're going to lose. But all he needs is a remnant. If that little remnant walking in power will get out there, he will always win the war. But I want my children to be part of it. So I want to train them. It's not always easy, mamas. And sometimes you feel insignificant, but you are not. You are full of power, and you've got children in your home that God wants to use as a remnant. He's going to use them, but you have to do your part. You have to train them. So I wanted to tell you the tent peg. I always say Jael was in the tent peg ministry. Deborah had palm tree ministry. Jerry, I'm glad I don't have that ministry. Husbands, be glad your wife is not in the tent peg ministry. You would not want to make her mad. But there's a significance to the tent peg. I looked that up too. Jael used to finish off the enemy a tent peg. And on the day of victory, a simple housewife brought 40 years. That tent peg, if you look in Isaiah 54:2, it says, he says, and I think that one year our church had this as the yearly prophetic word. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your curtains of your dwellings. Do not hold back. Lengthen your ropes and strengthen your pegs. So the tent pegs represents the boundaries of your dwelling. It holds your dwelling together. What God is saying in this hour, don't stay little. Don't stay content. Stretch out your tent pegs. Yes. I believe he's saying that to you. Let your children stretch out and get out there. Get out there. Stretch them out. It's time to wage war. Ladies, I'm telling you, you have victories to win. Don't go down in defeat. Here, you have victories to win. You have territories to take over. You have territories over your family that you need to begin speaking to it and saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and begin to go after them. You have to take the territory of your children. Don't let the world have them. Yes, they're going to probably do things wrong. That's a training ground. I used to tell my parents when I had to call them when their child misbehaved, hey, I have a teachable moment for you. I didn't say, hey, your child's been misbehaving, I got some bad news. I said, hey, want a teachable moment? Yeah, they caught on to it later, and they're going, oh, no. But no, use it for good. Your finances, maybe your financial eating, that's your territory. Enlarge your tent peg. Maybe your marriage is not working. Enlarge your tent peg, your health, your future. Enlarge your tent peg. Begin to take back the territory. We've got to begin taking back our territory. Time's running out, so if we don't, he's just going to have to move on and say, I'll get someone else to do it, because he doesn't have time. So here's what the enemy says. He's saying to you, it's time to take back your ground and no longer hold back because I feel insignificant. Don't hold back in fear. I don't have a microphone. I can't sing. Pick up your hammer, the word of God, and through the power of prayer, drive it down into the enemy's skull. Drive it down. Instead of doing your husband, take down the enemy with it. That's a good thing. Yeah, every husband is like, yeah, ooh, hallelujah. So you have probably, here's the thing the enemy does to housewives and to ladies. You have lies of insignificant. He says, you're insignificant. You're not doing nothing for the ministry. Well, Jael was a housewife. She brought 40 years of victory. Lies of unworthiness. Your past calls to you and says, yeah, you're not going to do it. You have drugs. You've done it. That's a lie of the enemy. God's blood covers your sins, and you are made victorious. And in fact, he'll turn around those sins and make them testimonies that will win the loss. He has lies of not being good enough. I'm not talented. I can't sing. You don't need a platform to be a powerful person in the Lord. Right. You need to go in the heights, right, in the house of God, and he will use you. And lies that the circumstances, and some of you have been through this, I believe, in 2020, lies that your circumstances that you are facing are too bad or too big, or you get angry at God. That's not the time to get angry. God, everything that we go through, and I had to learn this back in, I think, 2015. I didn't understand some things, but I didn't get angry at God. I was just like, God, did I do something wrong? Do I deserve? I mean, it isn't. God's doing good things through our circumstances. They do not dictate our spirituality or how much God loves us. Once again, here's what God's saying to you, ladies. He's calling his Deborahs, and he's saying to his Deborahs, rise up. It's time. You're going out there into battle, and I'm coming back really soon, and the finest hour is here. He's saying again, come on, rise up. Get yourself purified and cleansed. Let God do a work in you. Know him better than anything. Get alone with him in intimacy and power. And so I'm going to get ready to close here, and I'm going to just ask Brent to come up, not the orchestra, because I want to pray over every lady here. As we get ready to close today, we're going to stand in a minute, and I've asked the Lord, you know, this coming up here, it makes you so nervous. I think, oh, man, but God, if you will anoint it and if you will touch some hearts out there, I'll do it, because I figure he used a donkey to do things, so I'm maybe a step up from a donkey. I mean, goodness. That makes me feel better. But God, I ask the Lord, and to those of you out there in the airwaves, this is for you too. God has plans and purposes for you, to those in the fellowship hall, to all the mamas, to those that God has put you in this hour. Pastor said it to the youth. You were chosen for this hour, for this time, not to go down in defeat and confusion, but to rise up in power and anointing. If the only thing you do is train your children, that's more powerful than anything. Train your children. You have got to be so much more in tune to winning them for the Lord. It's not okay. Time's running short. So you know what? I've got family out there. He calls it his Jerusalem. And I pray for them every day. The enemy's turning up the heat on my family. I've just seen him turn up, and it's like, no. And so I walk my floor, and it's like, you can't have them. This looks bad, but I've been praying for them, and prayer is powerful, so I'm praying it back. So I'm going to have, and if you're at home, if you have someone in the room, I'm going to have all the ladies. It doesn't matter if you're a mama or not. I want all ladies to stand up in this place. And men, if you're by a lady and it's your wife, you can lay hands on her. Otherwise, would all the men, and just stretch out your hands toward the ladies in this place, because the Bible says impartation comes when we anoint. And I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, this isn't Kate Freeze praying. This is Jesus Christ speaking this over you. Your finest hour is yet to come. So I'm going to pray. And out there over Facebook Live, men, touch your wife. Children, extend your hands because this is for you too. Jesus, as we extend our hands to these women of God that you've brought to this place, they're not here by accident, you brought them. Lord, I ask that these daughters of God will realize that they're women that are in an army. They're significant, they're valuable, and God needs them. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever lies they have believed that have shut them down from being in God's army and operating in God's army, in the name of Jesus, I break off those lies of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, the enemy saying she's insignificant, I break you off in the name of Jesus. They are valuable and they are God's daughters, so get your hands off them. Father, when they leave this place, may these daughters of God know I'm going to walk in God and I have a place in this place in history. And Lord, let them begin to walk in fierceness, not fear. Let them begin to draw strength and be courageous. Help them, Father, to fearlessly go back against the darkness and begin to take back the land that they've settled for. If you have sons and daughters here, I just want to tell you, maybe they're older and not married, begin to prophesy and say they're coming to the Lord. Things that you've given up on, begin to say, I'm picking it up and I'm taking it back. Now's the time, now's the hour. God's going to change things. And so, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this ministry, and bless our church, bless our pastors, bless these mighty women of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll have break.